broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The minority party's demagoguery and demagoguing.
Some of what I've heard coming out of Wisconsin, where you're just making it harder.
I was swarmed by three photographers and the field producer, Carrie Maller. They sat me down and
911, what's the location of your emergency?
My girlfriend is drunk.
Mike, I felt this girl going up my leg.
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Radio for patriots by patriots, see? Because we go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. Forget it, man. Coming up this hour, Wisconsin and Democratic state senators remain in hiding. What a jive thing. What is that? What are you hiding for? And then we have a professor, I know, because you don't want to handle the thing, so you're going to hide. Why don't you stand up like men and women, take the vote, be counted, you got your ass kicked, okay, whatever. This is not a game, you silly people. This is not a college prank. We're not in the fraternity. We're not eating goldfish or running around with our pants off in Las Vegas, which was what I had to do once.
You're kidding me.
Well, not really me, but my son. Now,
you make your son do that?
No, I didn't make my... What do you mean, did I make my son do that? That was part of... He was rushing a fraternity at USC. Shows you how weird they are. This is not some party, man. This is not 1968 and we're taking over the chancellor's office there at Columbia. This isn't a wild and groovy thing on the Capitol Mall. You know, this isn't Forrest Gump. This is real, man. This is like as real as it gets. It's government. It's the will of the people. It is the way we do it in America, you know. I'm sorry you got outvoted. I'm sorry there's a Republican governor in charge there in Wisconsin. Whose fault is that? I know. When things don't go your way, why don't we concoct some conspiracy or some horrible raping of the public will or whatever it is that you do? You guys are so... Democrats, liberals, especially when the chips have been down here, and when I say the chips have been down, they've been down pretty heavy since the beginning of the century. And, of course, a lot of stuff coalesced around 9/11, but the economy itself was impacted not just by what was happening in the real estate market or with the banks or anything else. The economy was impacted by that day, 9/11. A lot of money flew out of the surplus to go to New York City, to go to the airline industry, to go to the tourist trade, to try to prop up here and there what we could when trillions of dollars were wiped out by that attack. Now, no one on that side of the conversation, liberals, they don't want to talk about that. Because if they do that, that means that's reality. You don't want to talk about reality, now do you?
Yeah, but I'm talking about reality, man, being a lady, you know, like ladies' rights.
Yeah, what about ladies' rights?
What do you mean, what about ladies' rights? What is that?
I mean women's rights. And
there's a lot of things that are reality, you know. There's a lot of things that are reality. Yeah, a hungry person, that's reality. Having to help that individual as opposed to having to right some other problems that may be bigger in the overall scheme, that's reality too, you know. Having to make some tough choices, that's reality too. You want to talk to me about how bad it is? I love these people that love to preach about how bad it can get. You don't know me. You don't know the people you're talking at about how bad it can get or what they've lived through or what they've seen. And we got a world full of experts, and we have a country loaded with gurus. And everybody in the world, in the words of Charles Bukowski, I think I quoted this the other day on the pre-show. Maybe I quoted it on the air. But the poet Charles Bukowski said, you know, God made a whole lot of poets. He just didn't make a lot of poetry. We got a whole lot of poets, man. If only we had more poetry. If only we had, in other words, more sense being spoken. What?
I don't understand about poetry. If what we're doing.
I'm making a... Get out of here before I start swinging on you, man.
What?
What's that mean?
I'm making a... It's a comparison, you know. You know, I mean, we need a lot of, we got a lot of wise men. We just don't have enough wisdom. How about that? Does that work?
Yeah, that I understand.
Jesus. So anyway, that's all coming up. And the Green River Killer pleads guilty to a 49th murder, 877-876-7445. I just did what I wasn't supposed to do, which is to go at a whole thing, and they tell me not to do that. I apologize. PhilHenryShow.com. PhilHenryShow.com. Our video cast is up there right now. Get a video, get a backstage pass.
You gotta start going like that lady. Yeah, Barry, you know.
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, almost did.
What? No, I did not. Boy, you guys are weird.
No, you did. You almost went, like, get a backstage pass and a Barry, listen to it.
No, I ain't listening to nothing because I know I didn't go into some kind of a freak out. What are you guys talking about?
Sound like you almost went into that migraine that lady did. If you listen very carefully.
I had headaches throughout my life, but never really what I would have called.
That's what she did.
What are you talking about, man? All right. So go get a backstage pass at PhilHenryShow.com. Now, I should conclude my thought, though. But my thought is what I was talking about. It's Wisconsin. That's what we want to discuss. Wisconsin budget protests continue as absent Democrats maintain their boycott, and Nancy Pelosi's with them in solidarity. And so what are we talking about, Ms. Pelosi? What exactly are you guys talking about? Are you talking about undercutting the will of the people of Wisconsin? Are you talking about leaving a vote so a vote can't be taken because you're going to lose that vote? And why is that? Because there are more of the opposite party than you. And who put them there? Oh, my goodness, the electorate, the people. The people voted them into that building. They voted that governor into that building. But that's not good enough for you guys, is it? You're going to make some asinine stand, completely un-American, unpatriotic, obstructionist, ignorant, because you believe in unions. You know what? I believe in unions too, man. I think they're the greatest thing in the world. But brother, I got to step back and step aside if there's another idea afoot.
You know, for a conservative, you're not supposed to believe in unions.
Nothing says conservatives can't believe in unions. What are you, an idiot? So there's nothing says that conservatives can't believe in unions at all. There's plenty of Republican union members and conservative union members. But I got to step back and step aside if the majority says, well, this is how it is. But we've got such children now in our country. I mean, the baby boomers. I've said this, and I'm grateful that a lot of people are concurring now, that we have this generation of overindulged, far better opinion of themselves than they are deserving to have, boomers and Gen Xers who now believe that regardless of what happens in this world, they must be heard, and quite frankly, people must go along with them. Am I right or am I wrong? Anybody disagree with me? I'd love to hear from people who want to tell me that this is somehow a absolutely correct move to make, leaving the Capitol, not taking the vote, not being involved in this vote, and just, you know, making their little stand, making their little pitch. You know, waving their little flag. On the run in Wisconsin, avoiding state troopers. I think that history will look upon you people as ridiculous, really. I think history will look upon you as people who were children and you couldn't face the music. You know what these Democrats remind me of? They remind me of kids that got to have a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say they got to go to the dentist.
Yeah, they remind me of little children that have to go to the dentist, and they can get you run away. So you've run away from the dentist of history. You've run away from the vaccine of history. You've run away from that big hypodermic needle of, you know, the inexorable, this moment that must arrive where we have to decide which direction we're going in, and at least now, in the state of Wisconsin, they have made their decision. And you guys have decided to run out of the doctor's office and hide. Nancy Reich, a middle school band teacher, tells CNN that the unions don't have a voice.
52 years we've been out here. And now all of a sudden, Governor Scott Walker wants to say, forget it, no voice. We are not out here about the pay and the benefits. We are out here for our voice.
Well, 52 years is a pretty good run, honey. And I don't think anybody's taken your voice away from you. It's certain aspects of collective bargaining. Here is a blogger. A blogger interviewed an unnamed protester outside the Capitol in Wisconsin. She compares the governor. Here we go. Here's a real brain surgeon. She compares Walker to Hitler.
One of Hitler's first acts.
What was that? To outlaw trade unionism. Yes, we know.
One of Hitler's first acts was to take over labor unions.
Okay, there you
go. That people could not organize.
So you're saying Scott Walker, Governor
That's
Walker,
what he's
is
doing, is taking over
is
labor
Hitler?
Unions.
Okay, but I mean the little mustache, the Hitler mustache
like
on
Hitler.
Him.
Right, okay, so Walker's Hitler, Bush was Hitler, hey, Obama's Hitler, too. Walker's, Hitler, I'm sorry that you ever lived, but the biggest reason why I'm sorry you ever lived is that you won't go away, man. You are now the de facto, effigy that everyone has to hold up because nobody knows how to read. They don't know anything else about this world. State Representative John Erpenbach. Anyway, he tells Shepard Smith on Fox Business Channel the Democrats won't return to work until the governor has a sit-down meeting with them to negotiate the changes they want in the bill.
You know, I would love to sleep in my own bed tonight. I'm afraid that's probably not going to happen. Again, this goes back to the governor.
So you're not going to answer how long it is you're willing to hold out here?
Well, we don't know. I mean, that's totally up to the governor.
Might you hold out for days? Might you hold out for weeks?
Shepard, again, that's up to the governor. When the governor is willing to sit down and really try and build consensus and take a look at the legislation exactly how it affects Wisconsin and try and bring us together, then that's a great movement forward.
Until then, you're going to subvert the democratic process. You won't. You guys are begging for some kind of an intervention by law enforcement. Is that? I mean, they got troopers out there looking for them. Here is Governor Scott Walker. He wants Democratic lawmakers back on the job.
I continue to work, and I'm calling on the members of the state Senate to show up and do the job that they're paid to do as well. They don't have to agree with everything we proposed, but they should, on behalf of the people who pay their salaries, show up to work. While what we're doing is a politically bold move, it is a modest request of our employees at the state and local level. Modest in the sense that what we're asking for is very similar, in many cases much better, than what the average taxpayer is getting all across the state of Wisconsin. We're asking for a 5.8% contribution to the pension system, which is essentially right at the national average for those who have pensions, and many of our workers in the state, particularly those in the middle class, do not.
So because there is no problem with what he's talking about, jobs, money, any of that stuff like that lady said, the problem is that you guys, your lawmakers, Democrats, are not having their asses padded and their heads padded and their butts wiped. That's why you guys are out there? This is about Emily Post? Finally, here is President Obama weighing in on the controversy in an interview in Milwaukee on Milwaukee TV.
Some of what I've heard coming out of Wisconsin, where you're just making it harder for public employees to collectively bargain generally, seems like more of an assault on unions. And I think it's very important for us to understand that public employees, they're our neighbors. They're our friends. These are folks who are teachers and they're firefighters and their social workers and their police officers. They make a lot of sacrifices and make a big contribution, and I think it's important not to vilify them or to suggest that somehow all these budget problems are due to public employees.
You got to tell those people to go back to work, Mr. President. Forget about all that other nice stuff about unions. You got to tell those jackasses to go back to work. Not that they have to. Not that that's your job. But, it's you carry a little bit of weight in that regard. So we'll find out what happens. I guess we got more stuff to talk about. But the more I talk about this stuff, the more I'm going to want to kill somebody.
Yeah, better move on.
Yeah. So anyway, we do have other things. Bad grades lands a teen on a street corner with a sign. His mom's making him hold up. And just some other news here. Obama has replaced the conscience regulation. Boy, there's a lot of dull-ass news once again. We'll get through it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. If anybody can make it interesting, I can.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
One of the things I want to find out, Bud,
what happened?
All right, but I want to find out, what is the story with this, we're not showing up for work? What does that mean when cops are out? I realize that probably 90% of the audience already has the answer.
But I'm looking as fast as I can.
You should have looked before we went on the air. What does it mean when these guys are out? Can they be compelled to come back by these cops? If cops are sent out, law enforcement officers, to find them, then what law is being broken and what is the penalty? And then finally, why can't they go ahead and vote without them being there? As senators consider ways to bring missing Democrats back to the chamber, a look at the state constitution is in order. The constitution doesn't provide a lot of details, but it does say lawmakers may compel the attendance of absent members in such a manner and under such penalties as each house may provide. Under the Senate rules, Sergeant-at-Arms Ted Blaisdell can carry out those duties, said Senate Chief Clerk Rob Marchant. We are researching the extent to which law enforcement can be involved. Merchant said Blaisdell said he checked all Senate offices for Democratic members as instructed. But have you ever seen in your life a more balled-up system? The rules of the Senate state they need one minority party member to be present for a vote. You got the most jacked-up system I've ever heard of. And guess I better not speak too soon, because we probably got the same thing in California. In fact, for all I know, it's in all 50 states. And wherever you are listening to this show tonight, I suggest, and I'm being very serious now, I suggest you look into your state law and find out exactly what the law is in your state if this kind of crap goes down in your state. Ohio, I think there's some, there are problems in Ohio and elsewhere. They have to have one member of the minority party. Great. They can't find one. They're trying to get cops involved, but they can only involve them up to a certain point. If they go out of state, then obviously they can't use their Wisconsin cops. They're having a look into the law, because this is the most jacked up stuff I've ever seen in my life. Republican leaders said police are searching for the 14 truant lawmakers, but lawyers said police in Illinois, where several of the senators are believed to be during their boycott, or other locations outside of Wisconsin, do not have the legal authority to detain the legislators, according to the Milwaukee Journal. Cops in other places can't just pick people up and haul them across state lines. No, we understand that, counselor. We're talking about if they're still in the state. All right, so this is what's going on, and a lot of you guys, as I said, may be asking, or you may already know, but the law is fuzzy to the extent of how do they compel these guys to come back? Can they swear out a warrant for the arrest of these people? And, of course, you throw them in jail, and now what are you doing, man? Now you're making them into just the martyrs that they want to be. I mean, because, like I said, these guys are dealing with this like it's a happy fizzies party, man. They're dealing with it like, you know, fist in the air and go Haber College, you know. We won't let them take our beer night away. 877-876-7445. I think Frankie Muniz deserves more of our time, don't you?
Well, it is very interesting.
Frankie Muniz, the former actor in Malcolm in the Middle, made a 911 call in which he made the statement, "I'm a celebrity." It's kind of funny. The incident's not that funny. His girlfriend was throwing $10,000 pieces of art around their home in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was flipping his lid. So let's listen. Malcolm in the Middle actor Frankie Muniz calls 911 to report his out-of-control girlfriend.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
My girlfriend is drunk, and she's going crazy.
Okay.
And she's crashing my house. Literally, lamps, everything. And she's going crazy. She's hitting me in the face. I don't know what to do, because I'm about to lose control.
Okay.
I'm trying.
Are you in a house or an apartment, sir?
I'm in my house. I don't want there to be a big problem.
Okay, I'm going to get off the show started. What's your name, sir?
I can't even have my truck.
What is your name, sir? Tell me your name.
I don't want to make a big deal, because I'm a celebrity. I don't want there to be a big deal.
He's a celebrity. Hear the girlfriend go, "Oh, my God." I don't know, this bitch is, this girlfriend is Alicia Turnbow.
Okay. I don't want any charges. I just want her to stop
throwing
stuff.
We're going to come out and help you with that.
I don't want to make a big deal, please.
What color clothing does she have on?
I actually don't want you guys to come out. I just need, Can you talk to her and tell her to calm down?
I can't cancel this call, sir. What is your name? What's your first name?
Hey, you just damaged the house. You're still damaging it. Just leave it. Just leave it where it is, babe. I did not hit you. You punched me in the face when I was sleeping.
Sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is your first name?
My name is Tracy Union.
Never heard of you, sir. Anyway, right there, that's what that right there, that's the state of America, you know. Could you please come and help me, but please don't, I don't want to tell you where I am. That's America, right? That, you know, that's the all of the voices of America if you put them into one 911 call. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarian, all put them into one 911 call. There it is. My house is being damaged, but don't come out and don't help me. But please tell me what I can do to help me. But my name's Frankie, but I don't want to tell you my name. And my girlfriend is trapped. Please, God, help me, please, but don't come here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Isn't that what you said, Frankie?
I don't want any charges.
All right, okay, I understand.
Phil Henry.
I got you.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That time, Iron Swine got a 911 call from a kid. Here's Iron Swine.
911, Iron Swine. Yeah, man, you know, at my house, my girlfriend's beating the hell out of me. She's beating the living hell out of me, man. Where you at? I don't know. I don't want to tell you, man, but please get here. I can't tell you, but please get to my house now. My girlfriend beat hell out of me. She took a tail. What did I do? Who are you? What's your name? I can't tell you. I'm a celebrity. I cannot tell you. I will not tell you. I'll never tell you. What's your name? Frankie Muniz. Never heard of you.
That's Iron Swine, brought to you by
LA County Museum of Art. How's that?
Yeah, it's good.
Never heard of you.
Never heard of him.
All right, man. Thanks, bud.
You messed it up.
I didn't mess up nothing, man. I did everything right. You're the one who messed it up. I'm supposed to say I'm Frankie Muniz, and you're supposed to say you ain't Justin Burfield?
No, I didn't. You're supposed to say Jane Kaczmarskic.
Jane Kaczmarskic? What? You know, it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, it wasn't good enough.
It was fine, man. What do you guys think you're doing, Shakespeare? It was fine. All right, speaking of Wisconsin and what's going on in the state of Wisconsin and what we've all known the state of Wisconsin for, the Green River Killer pleads guilty to a 49th murder. Now.
You're talking about Ed Gein.
No, I'm not talking about Ed Gein, but frankly, when it comes to Wisconsin, that's what I really know Wisconsin for, cheese and psycho. Anyway, Green River Killer Gary Ridgway, you know about him, right?
Yeah, that's the guy, he's supposed to be the biggest serial killer of them all.
Apparently, Gary Ridgway may hold the record, and it's a gruesome, grisly record to hold, as a serial murderer. He may hold the record of the most people killed. This is a 49th murder victim. Some people think there's more, but in any event, Green River Killer Gary Ridgway pled guilty on Friday to the 1982 aggravated murder of a woman whose body was found in Auburn late last year. This is now the 49th victim of this psychopath, Gary Ridgway, who is in custody. And in exchange for his life, Gary Ridgway agreed to cooperate with authorities, answer any questions they had, lead them to any crime scene and crime site that he could remember, and basically just be an open book for any and all investigations that they might be involved in, and any and all questions they may have about Gary Ridgway and how this what makes this guy tick. And he said yes to that deal, and that's the deal he has. And, you know, ordinarily, I think psychopaths should just be dropped right down a hole. I mean, to me, if the guy is a killer like a Ridgway, a psychopathic killer, no conscience, knows right from wrong.
You said wrong.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, it sounded funny, right from wrong.
Yeah, it's like saying, I know Gary Wright, but
you guys shut up and let me finish. Gary Wright.
No, Gary Wong.
Yeah. Ridgway was transported from the Washington State Penitentiary in Walla Walla to the Regional Justice Center in Kent, where he appeared in court at 1:30. And this was today, or I should say yesterday, Friday, to answer the charge that he strangled Rebecca Becky Marrero. Ridgway was sentenced to another life sentence for Marrero's murder. He's already serving 48 consecutive life sentences for the other murders.
What's that mean?
It means, as ridiculous as it sounds, 48 consecutive means 48 on top of. Okay.
There's no way you're ever going to be living that long.
They know that, man. But that's what it is. That's a life sentence.
Yeah. In other words, concurrent would be, and there are sentences that are concurrent mean at the same time. But for Gary Ridgway, the nature, it's a basic way of saying you ain't ever getting out. So just kiss it goodbye, friend. Marrero's remains were found in December, nearly 30 years after she disappeared. Prosecutors said the murder took place on or about December the 3rd, 1982, the date she was last seen leaving a hotel room at South 168th Street and the Pacific Highway South. Ridgway was in court. We have audio of Gary Ridgway making this plea. He pleads guilty to charges read to him by the prosecutor, Dan Satterberg.
The charge of one count of aggravated murder in the first degree.
Yes.
Do you understand the elements of that crime? That you, in King County, Washington, on or about December 3rd, 1982, with premeditated intent to cause the death of another person, did cause the death of Rebecca Marrero, a human being, who died on or about December 3rd, 1982. Do you understand those are the elements of this crime?
Yes.
Do you understand that the state's alleged an aggravating circumstance, that there was more than one victim, and this murder and the other murders were part of a common scheme or plan? Do you understand the aggravating circumstance that's been alleged?
Yes.
How do you plead to the crime that's been charged?
Guilty.
And Ridgway has pled guilty to, I believe, all of these murders that he's been charged with. And they mention aggravating stances, I think the word. Anyway, that's because it was part of an overall series of murders. And the nature of this series of murders is so horrific that, it has that aggravating aspect to it. Anyway, Mary Marrero said her family was finally able to put Marrero to rest on February the 5th after her remains were found in December of 2010. Now, this young lady's name what was this child's name?
Her name's Becky.
Okay, Mary Marrero is her sister. Excuse me, folks. Mary Marrero spoke in court about the loss of her sister and the effect it had on herself and the victim's daughter. The day she came up missing, I wanted to kill myself, said Mary Marrero. It's been a long 29 years wondering every day what happened. She said her family was able to put Marrero to rest on the 5th after her remains were found in December of 2010. Then she expressed anger that Ridgway was allowed to live. What does it take to get the death penalty in Washington? I don't agree with the plea deal to spare his pathetic life, said the victim's sister. The irony is they never would have found your sister, ma'am, with all due respect to her, and she's entitled to her anger. They never would have found her had they not spared Gary Ridgway's life. But maybe at the end of the day, she doesn't care.
I mean, now she can't. She's glad that they have her, but she probably would have been more preferred that he died, you know?
I don't know. Anyway, she said Ridgway knows where every one of his victims are and what he did to them. He's worthless. He's not going to give. And he's not going to give any more up. He is a waste of society and a waste of space. If I had one more thing to tell you today, it would be kill him, said Mary Marrero. The victim's 79-year-old mother also appeared in court but did not speak. Ridgway cut a deal with prosecutors in 2003. This is what I was telling you about. And he received a life sentence in exchange for pleading guilty to the murders of 48 other women. The King County Sheriff's Office said Ridgway was questioned extensively in 2003 about Marrero's disappearance. Prosecutor Dan Satterberg said that Ridgway had confessed to killing Marrero in 2003. Her remains had not been found, and Ridgway was unable to provide sufficient details to charge him with her murder. Now, the thing about Gary Ridgway is that they caught him with DNA that they got off of him in the 80s.
Yeah, they went to his house in the 80s.
They knew he did it in the 80s? What?
They didn't know he did it in the 80s, but he was a person of substantial interest. Let's put it that way. And they did not have any physical evidence, but they saw his truck, and there was a similar truck spotted where one of these women went missing. His home was in the general vicinity. And I saw a fascinating show the other night on TV where they interviewed, and you know, you rarely see this, but this was a show on Investigation Discovery called Who the Hell Did I Marry or Who the Bleep Did I Marry? You know that one?
Yeah, I seen it.
Did you see that they talked to Gary Ridgway's wife?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. And it was very interesting because, like I said, you never see the spouse of these guys. And this woman is saying, and the friends said, Gary and I forget this lady and his wife, they had a marriage that we all envied.
Are you kidding me, man? This guy killed like 50 women.
I swear to God, that's the whole thing about psychopaths, man. They can put it on for you. They had a marriage that everybody envied, and they were just in love, and she loved the hell out of him. She thought he was the greatest thing in the world, and, you know, and they had kids. And anyway, one day she's at work, and what's her name? Reneka? What the hell kind of name is that, Reneka?
Probably misspelled it.
Yeah, thank you. Rebecca. So anyway, this... What do you mean Rebecca was the wife? That's the name of this woman that was killed. You better have that name right, man.
I'm going to double check.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, she said, I'm sitting there at work one day, and all of a sudden these three big guys show up. Big guys, all in suits. And she realizes they've got to be cops, and they were, and they said, well, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, Mrs. Ridgway, I guess, can we please talk to you? And she said it blew her mind because they wanted to search the house, and they wanted to talk to her husband. So they did, but this was way back in 1987. She'd only been married 2 years, and they got DNA off of Gary Ridgway by way of a saliva swab. Now, the cops that investigated the Green River killings were very thorough. They held on to all the evidence. They didn't get rid of any evidence. They you know, they kept everything, including these DNA samples.
That thing got him, too.
The DNA is what sunk him, man. And if they hadn't had that swab, that saliva swab that they got from Gary Ridgway in 1987, they never would have caught this guy, man.
But they had DNA off the crime scene?
They had DNA evidence from the crime scene, yeah. They absolutely had DNA evidence from the from crime scenes. Otherwise, the DNA that they got off of Gary Ridgway wasn't going to do them any good. So there you go, man. That's the story there, the Green River Killer. And I think it's interesting what she said. And, the lady, the sister, you know?
Yeah, well, she wanted, like you were saying, she wanted to kill her or kill the guy.
Right. And I don't blame her, man. And I'm death penalty all the way, me. You know.
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah, and what do you think about that?
Well, you know how I feel about it. I don't think it's right.
Well, really? Okay. Well, I'm not going to argue it. I'm death penalty all the way, baby, all the way. Unless there is some reason that the cops can give me that keeping this guy alive is going to benefit them, and in this instance. They did, and I think it was worth it. And this woman, however righteous her anger, and I agree, they never would have found her sister had they not kept this guy, this Ridgway, alive. So there you go. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back for our final segment here tonight. Don't forget tomorrow night, our video cast right on our website of our local Los Angeles show, KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. So if you... if you're not in the city of L.A. or you can't hear the broadcast, you can watch it on our videocast, philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
right, probably this will be the final installment of our Serena Branson reporting, but it's interesting to us. Just the whole, you know, episode of Serena Branson, the Channel 2 reporter, you know.
Yeah, let's go, Barry.
Yeah, we know, bud, and you don't have to start mocking her and using me as an example.
Well, it did sound like you were having, like a speech impediment.
Are you kidding me, man?
No, it did.
When?
Well, you went like, and don't forget our website, Barry, you know, okay, detergent or something.
What the? You know, you guys are either high on some new weed that I can't smell, or you're joking.
No, it sounded that way.
Okay, well, get your hearing checked, man, because I don't agree with you. Now.
Yeah, but how would you know?
Hey, I'm all done talking about it. Thank you. TV reporter speaks about speech problem at Grammys. A TV reporter who lapsed into gibberish during a live shot outside the Grammys said she was terrified when it happened and knew something was wrong as soon as she opened her mouth.
Well, a very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Tara's in those for the bit. They had the pit.
It sounds like she said, let's go ahead and tase Tara, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what she wanted to do.
Tased her. All right, now, I found out that what she was trying to say was, what was it, Jason? Lady Antebellum swept the Grammys. Now, there's nothing in what she's saying here, even though she says she says the word well, and she says tonight, and she says we had. That all came out right.
Well, a very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Tara's in those for the bit. They have the pet.
Let's go ahead and tase Tara, and then we'll have the pet.
Yeah.
All right, now, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun, young lady, if you're listening. On CBS News, the early show, Branson is asked how it feels to see the video of her speaking this gibberish.
I've seen it a couple times now. It's still
chicken
troubling
crap
to see, because I know what was going through my mind at that time. Yeah. I was terrified. I was scared. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. Well, I knew something wasn't right as soon as I opened my mouth. I hadn't been feeling well a little bit before the live shot. I had a headache. My vision was very blurry. I knew something wasn't right, but I just thought I was tired. So when I opened my mouth, I thought, this is more than just being tired. Something is terribly wrong. I wanted to say Lady Antebellum swept the Grammys, and I could think of the words, but I could not. They weren't coming out properly.
Wow. So that's what she wanted to say. Now, here, Branson describes what happened when her live shot ended.
I was swarmed by three photographers and the field producer, Carrie Maller. They sat me down immediately. I dropped the microphone. Right after that, my cheek went numb. My hand went numb. My right hand went numb. And I started to cry. I was scared. I didn't know what had gone on, and I was embarrassed and fearful.
Poor kid. Branson talks about her diagnosis.
I've had headaches throughout my life, but never really what I would have called a migraine. And the doctor ran lots of tests. I saw some of the best doctors in the world, top neurologists and cardiologists. They ran tests for 3 days. I was there for 9 hours Monday, back for 9 hours the next day. And finally, they diagnosed me with migraine aura.
You know, when the vision thing goes, you know.
Hey,
what?
Rick Sanchez.
Well, a very heavy.
Okay, that one and then this one.
Blah, 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 blah. Will you get out of here with Rick Sanchez? Anyway.
They are talking about blurry vision.
Blurry vision, yeah, is a migraine thing, man. Blurry vision's a migraine thing. And as I said to you guys last night, I had a friend of mine who was talking to me one day. Says, geez, you know, he says, I was blind. I went blind. I didn't tell you, man. I lost my vision the other day. I said, what the hell are you talking about? He says, I went to the doctor. I couldn't see. Couldn't see.
Well, he had a migraine headache?
Had a migraine. Not. And again, people don't understand that migraines don't necessarily have to be painful, you know.
Well, that'd be painful, though. You're standing there 1 minute, and the next minute.
Well, a very heavy.
That's painful.
If you are you making jokes again, man? Because you're gonna, you'll pay. So she's doing okay now, and that's good to know. All right, David Martin was in the mood for raw fish. Now this one I can't figure out for love or money, and we'll leave this for you guys to figure out over the weekend. Okay? David Martin was in the mood for raw fish, and he liked the deal offered by a Studio City sushi restaurant, all you can eat for $28. Now let's forget about a place that offers fish all you can eat for $28. I wouldn't go near it, but that's you know. He took a seat at the counter. He started ordering, but it turned out Mr. Martin didn't really want sushi, which includes rice. He wanted the all-you-can-eat sashimi, which is just fish. So he began, what did he do? He picked the seafood off the top and he left the rice. Sound okay to do? Sounds okay to me. But the restaurant owner, J.O., told Martin that if he wanted the all-you-can-eat price, he'd have to eat the rice too, and not just fill up on fish. Martin replied that he has diabetes and he can't eat rice, but he did want the all-you-can-eat sushi. O said he offered to prepare sashimi for Martin. Two orders of sashimi, though, cost $25 or $3 less than the all-you-can-eat sushi deal. But O said Martin declined the offer. Martin left the restaurant after being charged a la carte prices for the sushi that he'd already ordered, plus $1 for a cup of green tea. 2 weeks later, what do you think he did? He filed a lawsuit in the Los Angeles County Superior Court, at least $4,000 in damages for humiliation, embarrassment, and mental anguish. He says he suffered after being discriminated against on the basis of his disability, that is, having diabetes. And because he has diabetes, he's not allowed to eat the sushi that you and I are allowed to eat. He didn't get the all-you-can-eat price. He got stuck. He got screwed. He got
Well, a very, very heavy burtation.
That's what happened when he ate the sushi. That's what happens when you eat at that guy's restaurant. So consider yourself lucky there, David. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Rick Johnson, and, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., watch the video cast of our KFI show. Yes, it's radio for patriots by patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, right-wing radio. God love you, baby. We'll see you on Monday night. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, a very, very heavy burtation.
Isn't those the pet?
Chicken crap.